I'd like to call for the regular session of the Springfield Planning Commission for September 7th, 2016. And I'd like us all to stand and pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's see if there's any adjustments to the regular session agenda. Hearing none, is there any business from the audience? Hearing none, we're going to go into this legislative public hearing on the Springfield Development Code Amendment TYP 416-0001 of Verizon Wireless. And I will open the public hearing and ask for a staff report.
I can give a quick review of procedural aspects. This is a legislative hearing, so we don't have to go into the detail that we would for a quasi-judicial, but the hearing will be open. Staff will give a staff report, opportunity for the applicant or the public to give testimony. The hearing can be closed or extended, or the record can be extended. The commission can evaluate that at the time and then move forward with deliberation and decision. And the decision tonight will be to either make a recommendation for the city council to approve or not approve these proposed code amendments. You could also approve with suggested changes, and if you want to do that, we can talk that through at the time as also.
Thank you.
Well, good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission. I'm just going to do a brief summary of the requested text amendment for the Development Code. This request originates from the public as opposed to from staff. And the applicant is on behalf of Verizon Wireless, who conducts business in the city of Springfield. And the text amendment affects the public land and open space district within the city of Springfield. The applicant is requesting to elevate public land and open space from a district where only low visibility and stealth wireless telecommunication facilities are allowable to one where moderate visibility facilities also are allowable. For context, the map that's on the screen, it was in your packet, depicts the location of public land and open space zoning within the city. The requested amendment is specific to sites within the city limits, and so there's some green cross-hatching showing sites outside the current city limits. This particular text amendment would include a footnote that those would be excluded from provisions of the moderate visibility cell tower regulations. The purpose for this is to allow for facilities to be distributed within the city. Typically, the commission has seen recently sites that are zoned commercial industrial where facilities have been located, ones that are taller, perhaps more conspicuous depending upon the design. And this would allow for facilities that typically are created as a monopine type structure be allowable on sites that are on public land and open space. They still would be subject to provisions of the city's development code, which requires a discretionary use proceedings for moderate visibility facilities. So physically, let's get the next slide here. The change would elevate public land and open space from what I'm referring to as the third tier of the table to the second or middle tier and place it with other districts where the moderate visibility facilities are allowable and add the footnote. And the depiction of it is as follows. And this is what the table would look like post-amendment, and that is to add public land and open space in the middle tier, provide a footnote specifying that moderate visibility facilities in this public land open space district are allowable only inside the city limits. That has been the request of the applicant, and they are here this evening to provide more details as to the reason and rationale for this And I'd be happy to answer any questions that were included with the staff report or any of the exhibits that were provided.
Any questions? Thank you.
I'll just specify too that, just to summarize, the recommendation before the Planning Commission will be presented to the City Council in a public hearing meeting on October 3rd. So depending upon the outcome, staff will present that recommendation to City Council for their adjudication of this text amendment.
I do have a question.
Professor Mullin.
How come you excluded the urban growth boundary areas?
For a couple of reasons. One, because the sites that are outside the current city limits, the Doris Ranch being the most notable, likely would not be appropriate for a cell tower site. And I guess also secondarily, a co-adoption of the text amendment may prove time consumptive with the county.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's right. I have to deal with the county on this.
All right, do we have any testimony in support of the proposal? Please state your name.
Mr. Vance.
Okay, great.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Mike Connors, here on behalf of Verizon Wireless. With me here today as well is Jesse Burgess with Centerline Solutions. That's the consulting company that's been working on this particular project. I think Andy covered some of the issues, but it's one of the difficulties of having a PowerPoint presentation, sort of stuck with going through it, but hopefully there's not too much repetition. So as you indicated, it's a pretty simple code amendment that we're requesting. Basically what we're asking the city to do is to amend the table 4.3-1, which would move the PLO, Public Lands Open Space Zone, up from the bottom tier up to the middle tier. And if you look at this next slide here, here's where the current table is, and this is the table that dictates which zones this particular kind of wireless telecommunications system facilities are allowed and what the specific types of those facilities are allowed. Currently, PLOs in the bottom run along with the residential, general office, and neighborhood commercial. And what we're asking to do, before we go to that, one thing I did want to make sure explain is, if you look at, going back to this table here, if you look at the types allowed as low visibility and stealth, and typically from an industry perspective, and typically what we see in various jurisdictions is stealth is really more of a camouflage facility. When you talk about allowing or requiring a certain stealth kind of facility, most jurisdictions, that is the faux tree, flagpole, some of the things that are defined as a moderate visibility facility. So part of the difficulty is right now with the current PLO, with the current table with respect to the PLO zone, essentially low visibility and stealth WTS, wireless telecommunication system facilities, can only be co-located. So in other words, you can only have an antenna that is located on an existing building or an existing structure. It doesn't allow any tower regardless of the circumstances. So what we're proposing to do is basically move the PLO up into the second rung so you can allow for moderate visibility. Well, what does that mean? Andy definition of moderate visibility, and this is the actual definition. Subsection 1 really is a subsection of a co-location kind of an option. But really the key for purposes of the code amendment, what's the impetus behind our request, is subsection 2. Which allows for a tower, but it requires that the tower be camouflaged. And so that's where typically I say a lot of times you see the term stealth or camouflage. A moderate visibility facility is required to be camouflaged or stealth. And that's using whether it's a faux tree, a flagpole, a light pole, a lot of it depends on the context. We have a particular site that will be pursuing after the code amendment, and I'm going to provide you a little information so you can see it within that context. But that's important to understand, because even if you're a moderate visibility facility, you still have to conceal it. That includes both the tower, and then as you can see, it's also the equipment building needs to be screened or camouflaged. And so in terms of what would be required if you allowed moderate visibility facilities in the PLO zone is it still imposes what we believe to be pretty rigorous standards on these kind of facilities. You have to go through discretionary review process, and that's under the WTS standards, site plan review, discretionary use review. There's a number of requirements in those code sections, including requiring that you demonstrate there's an actual need for the facility, that co-location is not available. Even though moderate visibility allows for something other than co-location, as an applicant, you still have to show, here's the area that we're looking at, that we're trying to serve, and we've looked at all the existing buildings and structures, or towers, if they're there, and can demonstrate that there is no co-location that's available. And one of the interesting things, I do a lot of these, you know, development-specific applications around the state, is there's a presumption that, well, as an applicant, you'll just say that there's no co-location because you want to build a tower. Actually, it's the reverse, because for an applicant, from a cost, timing perspective, it's far easier to co-locate on a building. It's cheaper, you don't have to build a tower, you typically don't get as much opposition. So there is really a built-in incentive on carriers to look for those kind of opportunities. But nonetheless, your code would still require that we demonstrate there's no co-location options available. We have to demonstrate that there's no less intrusive site that's available. Let's say, for instance, you allow in PLO and we say, all right, we want to put this new tower in the PLO and right next door there's an industrial zone. Well, that's a less intrusive site. We'd have to look there first. And again, we would have an incentive to do that, but we'd be required by your code to do that. And if we couldn't demonstrate that that's not a viable option, then that would allow us to at least apply in the PLO zone. And then lastly, as I indicated earlier, moderate visibility facilities are still required to go to camouflage or stealth. So why are we proposing this amendment? There's several reasons, and this is just a summary, and I'm going to give you some more detail on each. First one is an immediate need. We've identified a need for both coverage and capacity in the northwest part of the city that's lacking currently. And I'm going to provide you a little bit more detail, but that's sort of what the impetus was. When we started looking at it, started looking in the area, the only properties that were available to serve our needs were residential or PLO property. And then we realized, whoa, wait a second. Stealth is not a stealth that we're typically used to. Stealth is only co-location. And that's what led us to considering the code amendment. Second reason is there's really a lack of properties zoned industrial commercial to be able to serve the entire city. And I'll show you a map later, a zoning map. And Andy showed you a map that shows you how the PLO zones are spread out a little bit. But part of the difficulty we have is the current zones that would allow any kind of a tower are more concentrated in particular areas of the city. So we're looking at trying to make sure that we can serve some of those areas outside of those concentrated areas. Third one is we believe PLO zoned properties are good candidates for these kind of facilities. And then the last one is it's fairly typical for local jurisdictions to allow some kind of a tower. Some allow it without stealthing, some require some kind of stealthing or camouflaging. It was fairly typical in other jurisdictions to allow that. And we say that not necessarily because somebody else is doing it, you must do it. You know, each jurisdiction is different. But what we wanted to show, and I'll provide you a little bit more detail on some of the other jurisdictions that we just cited as examples, is that what we're asking is not unusual. It's not something that's atypical, or it's not going to set a lower bar for the city. We think it's going to set a bar that's similar, if not still higher, than many of the jurisdictions in Oregon. So, in terms of immediate need, upgrading, Verizon and other carriers are going through some growing pains because the growth of wireless usage is exploding exponentially. Cite here a statistic of the expectation that data traffic will increase by 650% by 2018. And the reason for that is it's really you have cities that are growing. And so you've got more dense pockets in certain areas, and then they're growing out into further areas where there wasn't development before. You have more people that are using wireless. You know, it used to be that started a landline, and maybe you have a wireless, and then you'd have both. Now a lot of people are just going strictly with wireless. They don't even have a landline. And then the third issue is that people are using the devices in a way that is much more data intensive. know, it used to be just email or call, but now you've got the web and people doing that. And what that does is that creates a capacity issue, and that's actually a big reason that carriers are having to consider these growths, because they've got towers or antennas in areas that can serve a certain area, but there's so many people using it that those towers get over capacity. And the only way to alleviate that capacity is to provide another facility strategically located to provide some coverage as well, but that can offload some of the capacity so the system doesn't get completely overloaded and then you get people trying to get on they can't get on at all. The particular site, which we're calling the Harvest site, this is just a map that shows you, and again, I'll give you a little bit of detail on the application, but I do want to be careful to say, you're not reviewing that, you're not approving that as any part of this. There's going to be a separate process we're going to be required to go through if this amendment is passed. But what it shows you here is we have three existing towers. Red is poor coverage areas. If you look on figure two, that's where we're looking at putting one of the new towers that's going to provide coverage to that area. So you can see that there's a fairly significant deficiency there that we're plugging, in addition to the fact that the existing towers are currently over capacity. So again, we're trying to offload some of the capacity with the new facility. The Harvest site, 320 Vitus Lane, it's a PLO zone property. It's a higher elevation. A higher elevation means that we don't have to make the tower quite as tall because we've got some of that line of distance. On this site, there's an existing water tower. There's other utilities, and that's an attractive feature because a telecommunication tower, in a large sense, is a utility kind of use. So if you have existing utility uses are already there, the impacts to the surrounding properties, surrounding community, not as great if there's already some utility use there. And then lastly, there are a number of tall trees that provide for screening. And that's important here because what we're going to be proposing for this particular site is one of these faux tree sites. And this is just kind of gives you a design sketch. But I'm a visual person, so this is not necessarily specific facilities that we have, but this is an example of the type of facilities, a faux tree type facility. And you can see that the designs have really improved over the years. I mean, if you're standing right next to it, I'm not gonna lie to you and tell you, you would be like, wow, is that a tree or facility? But it used to be that it stuck out like a sore thumb. Now designs have really improved such to the fact that it really does look like a tree from a not too far distance, and further away, it completely blends in with the surrounding. What I have here is a couple photo simulations, again, as part of the site-specific application, that shows you, this one's up close, and the red arrow on the picture to the right is showing you where that faux tree would be from a close-up distance, how it would look. And this is it from further away. And as you can see, when you get further away, when it's surrounded with those trees, it really is very difficult to even see one of these kind of facilities. Second reason that we're asking for this is just a lack of alternative sites available for us to be able to address our coverage and capacity needs. For this particular site, there's no existing towers, buildings of a sufficient height for us to be able to accommodate. We even looked at the water tower on the particular site. That wasn't going to work for a variety of reasons, one of them being height. And in fact, in our particular search area, the only properties that I referenced earlier are residential or this one PLO zone property. In terms of a second reason behind our code request, I thought this map would be helpful, and I don't know if we've got a... No, it's not going to show up. But if you look, generally the industrial and commercial sites where a new tower would be allowed, including moderately visible towers, are the red and purple colored properties. And as you can see, they're kind of concentrated down the middle to the northwest corner, a little bit down to the southwest corner. But there's big pockets of area where there's large residential areas. But sprinkled throughout those are a number of these PLO sites. So what we foresee is not just the immediate need of this particular site, but to the extent that we or other carriers have a need for some of those areas in the city where there's not industrial commercial zones that can accommodate it. A PLO type zone is spread out enough in the city to be able to accommodate those particular uses. The third reason is we think that a PLO zone is a good candidate for these kind of facilities. As I just indicated a moment ago, spread throughout the city, so it provides you a wide swath of coverage. You can be able to, you know, provide service for the entire city. They tend to be larger properties, so you've got greater setbacks. You're not right up against a neighboring property. Many of them have large trees, other vegetation provides screening, and many have existing utility uses. And Mr. Mott and I were talking earlier, he mentioned something that I didn't know of because I'm not from the city of Springfield, was that the PLO sites tend to be higher elevation. But I think is an important point because, again, with higher elevation, the tower doesn't need to be as tall because it's the elevation of the tip of the antenna that counts, not from the ground to the antenna. If you've got a higher elevation, you can reduce the height of the tower to be able to meet your need. The city does have some existing facilities in PLO zones. And this was back under the old code, and I've listed them there, Thurston High School, Kelly Butte Park, and Springfield Memorial Park. But one thing that's important to know is that these were sited under the old code. And under the old code, they essentially were high visibility towers, which means it's sort of the cookie cutter, industrial looking tower that you typically see. And it didn't even require any kind of a land use review. You essentially went in, got your building permits. But this just at least shows you that there has been a past practice of the city of allowing these in PLO zones. But again, that past practice was far more lenient than what we're proposing here because a high visibility site doesn't require as much process, doesn't require any kind of stealthing, and so you don't have as much discretionary review or requirement from an applicant.
You've got one and two reversed there. Thurston High School should be the easterly one, and Kelly Butte Park should be the west.
It's Jesse's fault. I'm sorry. Thank you. It's okay. Well, I will make sure that I get that corrected, and I appreciate that so I don't embarrass myself again in front of the city council. So, duly noted. Yeah, that's right. And then, as I indicated earlier, fourth reason is it's fairly typical to allow these kind of facilities. These facilities and the specific code references are in our application material. I didn't want to get into all the detail. And this isn't an exhaustive list, but it's just a list of various jurisdictions, Ben, Roseburg, Medford, Lebanon, Florence, and Portland, that we found in our search that do allow, and in some of these instances, they actually encourage it in a public lands or open space kind of zone. And again, all that really is to hopefully show you that we're not asking you to do something unusual or atypical. We're asking you to do something that we think is more typical with the majority of other jurisdictions. Compliance with the amendment criteria, I won't go into that in much detail unless you have any questions because we addressed it in our application. I think staff did a really good job of addressing that in detail. But it's basically compliance with the metro plan, state statutes, and statewide planning goals. I don't think there's any issue there. I mean, really what this is a policy decision. Is this something that the city believes they should accommodate or not when it comes down to. In terms of the criteria, which we have addressed, I don't mean to make it seem as though it's meaningless, but there's not anything specific that relates to wireless kind of facilities. And to the extent that there is, we think it supports it, and we've cited some of these for the Metro Plan, orderly efficient extension of urban facilities, as well as a state statute that deals with maintaining high quality telecommunication services. So with that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions, and again, we just ask that you recommend approval of the proposed text amendment to the City Council, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Do you have any questions right now? All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now we have an opportunity for any opposition to the proposal. Not hearing any. Any testimony in either support, either do not support or oppose? All right, hearing none. Any questions from the commission? Hearing none. Summary by the staff.
I guess we've heard both from staff and the applicant that this essentially would facilitate another process of the development code, which is a discretionary use proceeding for these types of facilities. So it would open the door for applications, but it would not guarantee or presuppose that they would be located on these sites. So I think it, you know, it provides an opportunity for appropriate siting. Again, the burden or the onus on the applicant to demonstrate that they can meet the criteria of the development code, they would be brought before the planning commission for review and potentially approval. So staff is confident that there is a already a mechanism to ensure that these types of facilities get a due scrutiny.
Thank you. Do we take any consideration of any request for continuation of the public hearing, extension of the written record, or both? All right. Hearing none.
Oh, I would just move to close the public hearing at this time.
Do we have a second for that? All right. We have a motion by Commissioner James and a second by Commissioner Landon to close the public hearing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I will move to close the written record at this time as well.
We have a second on that? Sure. We have a motion by Commissioner James and a second by Commissioner Landon to close the written record. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now we have the opportunity for discussion of the proposal. Commissioner James?
I would just like to say, very thorough application. I think you know, the reality of our environment now is more and more data access via these cellular towers. I appreciate that the city of Springfield has stepped forward and made the moderate visibility towers kind of the standard for what is in the public eye. You know, we had some examples of some towers that are highly visible that were prior to the code amendments. So I think we're doing this in the right way. It's obvious by looking at the space that's available in Springfield that the PLO designation land is much more distributed throughout the community. I think that's, you know, one of the things that the city, that providers have been grappling with over the last couple of years or so, is finding placements in industrial land or areas that require that additional coverage. And so I think this is done in a way that will still respect the citizens of Springfield, give them an opportunity to give input because there still is plan review process, but also provide the potential expanded capability of the bandwidth and cellular communication that are going to move us into the next century. So I think this is it's a simple amendment. But I think it's well stated, and I think it does what we need to do.
Thank you. Any other comments? All right. I guess right now we could entertain a motion. Mr. Landon?
I'd like to propose a motion to move forward a recommendation of approval. TYP416-00001, Verizon Wireless's application for development code amendments to Table 4.3-1 in Section 4.3-145, allowing moderate visibility wireless telecommunication WTS facilities in the public land and open space zoning district within Springfield city limits.
Thank you. We have a second.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Landon to approve and move forward the tonight's agenda with the TYP 416-0001 Verizon Wireless application. We have a second by Commissioner Kovala.
Kovala.
So, with that being said, can we take a vote?
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Hearing none, motion is approved. And now we would have any reports from the city council? Commissioner Bose?
Yes, I was at last night's city council meeting, and there wasn't really anything at the regular session other than routine business matters. In the work session, two topics. One was the Virginia Daisy Bikeway that we had a presentation on recently, and that was presented to the council for discussion. They have a tentative plan to begin construction next summer on that project. The other item of business was a request to have a designation for Main Street as a safety corridor. The council, in the long run, asked for more information on the pros and cons. Staff felt that the advantage of having that designation in place was more of a focus, public focus, on the safety for Main Street, since that's a primary issue. But there were some questions because there's been a number of other jurisdictions that have had this same safety designation, and they've asked that it be removed. So the request was for more information on the pros and cons, whether there's any financial impacts. And so there will be an additional work session when there additional information is available. And that was pretty much it for September 6th.
I attended a couple of earlier ones before our recess, though. One was the 13th of June, and that was a presentation of the downtown design standards document that we've all looked at before. Excellent presentation by staff to the city council. City council was very engaged in that. It was also a preliminary presentation of the Virginia Daisy Bikeway project, and then also a certification of the elections and a CETA meeting. And then also on the 27th of June, I was at a joint work session with the City Council, Lane County Commissioners, and the Lane County Planning Commission. And there was a presentation of the 2030 Comprehensive Plan, 20-year inventory of commercial and industrial lands. And again, a real excellent presentation, good participation by all. And I was very comfortable with the presentation that was done for the expansion of the urban growth boundary in that meeting.
Do we have any business from the Planning Commission? Hearing none. Last item is business from the Development and Public Works Director.
Good evening. I do want to remind you that on Monday night, September 12th, the City Council and the Board of Commissioners and the Lane County Planning Commission will open the public hearing process on the 2030 Comprehensive Plan and the Urban Growth Boundary Expansion, so a pretty exciting project for us. And I would imagine that we'll continue past that evening, would be my guess, but you can stay tuned to that. It's been a long time coming and a lot of good work by the staff, so that is it.
All right, thank you. Now we will adjourn the regular session of the Springfield Planning Commission.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.